Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. This is Tom. I'm here with Lotus as usual, and we had a request recently. I wish I remembered the name of the person. It was probably somebody who commented on our Discord, and they said something like, "Hey, have you and Lotus covered the Ideal Masters yet?" And I was like, "No, we haven't. We've talked in and around them. Not specifically, but we haven't covered them as like the primary topic of an episode." And I was like, that's a great idea. Why don't we take a break from going through all the different ESO zones and their stories and things like that, and dig back into some of the more, I don't know, esoteric or just kind of referenced weirdness of Elder Scrolls?
These are definitely, I'm going to call them creatures because I don't really know how else to classify them, because they're kind of gods, kind of. Well, we'll get into a lot of weirdness that they are. Basically, They're happy little crystals.
Little people crystals.
They're little people crystals.
Yeah, I'm sure they would love to be called that.
Yes. So if you think of The Sims, for anybody that played The Sims, the little green like diamond, just make it a shade of reddish, like reddish orange, like a burnt orange.
Yeah.
And congratulations, you're an ideal master.
There you go. Yeah. So here, we're going to start with the dialogue where you actually get to talk to an ideal master, or actually a few different ideal masters.
Yes.
From Battlespire. And we're going to read this out. Yeah. And Lotus is going to be the ideal master. In fact, we're going to start with the uncooperative ideal master, and I will be the player character. And so you walk in and you start talking to this crystal person. And then the first thing that they say is,
"Who disturbs our rest?"
And then, of course, the player character has options, but I'm just going to go with whatever kind of takes us to the next piece of the dialogue and eventually loops back and stuff. So we'll kind of manage it as we go. But I'll respond with a humble mortal who begs your aid.
"You are not invited here. Why do you disturb our rest?"
I, a poor, desperate creature of flesh, have chosen to contest with the princes of Oblivion and their minions, and I humbly seek your aid."
"Would you enter our service, mortal?"
I am surprised and honored by the prospect, but I'm curious, how might I enter your service?
Put off your mortal garments and stand naked in the spirit. Your stained tablet must first be washed white by the fires of mana.
This is what I tell my wife when when I'm hoping for
Woof.
It works every time.
100% success rate.
100% success rate. That sounds very nice. And how would I go about getting my tablet washed?
This is ultimate Battlespire dialogue, by the way, everybody.
It's amazing.
Seek the twin fingers of life in the Chapel of Love. Also, what you call...
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stand upon the pedestal and bathe yourself in the mana beams. The corruption of the flesh shall fall away, and the spirit shall be revealed in its glory. Then may you stand before us and serve for eternity in peace and joy.
Bathe myself in mana beams? This is actually the dialogue.
Yeah.
Yes. Flesh falls away. In chunks, I bet. Sorry, I struggle along with my comfortable old stained tablet, thank you.
Unless you join our service, we offer no aid. Affairs of mortals are not our concern. Each mote of mana spent diminishes our eternity. Go and trouble me no more. But you speak with our brethren, who perhaps better recall wearing flesh, and who may look more generously upon your request.
I shall certainly be happy to speak with any of your more generous brethren. Lots of you talking crystals floating in coffins around here. I take it. Dandy. It says dandy.
It says dandy.
I sure hope they are much more generous than you are, but thank you for your patience. Goodbye. And then that ends the conversation.
Yes, that's it. You just snubbed me the crystal.
Right. Now, if you go back to the very beginning, and after you say you are not invited here, why do you disturb our rest? If I were to instead say, a traveler through the outer realms, I have come upon your world and found it wondrous strange. Not wondrously, just wondrous.
Nope.
Wondrous strange. Yep. I seek to learn more of its mysteries. What is this place and what is its purpose? Then that goes to reply number six.
All the way down for me, six.
Yeah.
Which you stand within the precipice of the Soul Cairn, the first time we actually hear about this place. An otherworldly refuge dedicated to peace, love, eternal rest, and harmony. You stand before one of its makers, whose name is so exalted you may not even speak it. You walk among its servants, who have pledged themselves in the service to us, and who in reward have been gifted with life eternal and the peace that passes all mortals' understanding.
Oh, okay. And then, of course, you can go on from there. I can say something like, I'm humbled before the splendor of your creation and the glory of its faithful servants. And then it takes you back through the loop.
Yeah,
again.
It brings me back to the previous one. So this is why we're not reading like all of the choice things, because a lot of them are looping. Battlespire does this a lot, especially based on like some of your chatting skill ability. Mm-hmm. So it'll loop you around so you can carry the conversation in different ways. And some of them lead to lethal results and points.
Yeah. And then there's a seventh reply, which is like, perhaps you seek death without the rites. It is foolish, but you are free to choose, to which you can respond, no, sorry to bother you. I'm not seeking death, not even a little. Goodbye.
So one thing to say, this is a little more of a Battlespire thing in general, as the dialogue, as you can probably tell from the player character, is a little goofy. You are snarky and ridiculous in Battlespire. Mm-hmm. So like it really makes some of the dialogue pretty entertaining.
Yeah. And then there's after you talk to the unhelpful of these ideal masters, you can actually talk to the friendly ideal master, and it goes through a lot of the same dialogue, but eventually gets to, you know, further on your journey, and then you learn stuff to do. And we're not going to go through the whole rest of it, but that's a glimpse of the ideal masters and kind of the tone of how this stuff started. And what's funny to me is how wacky and I don't know, just over the top a little bit of that conversation is. And yet when people in the community talk about the ideal masters, they talk about the ideal masters with this like reverence and mystery. Yes, you know, like
they, and that's why it's kind of hard to describe them, because they do have like this creepy otherworldly vibe going, as a lot of Battlespire is, a mix of like really heavies, like campy horror movie almost type of deal, but then also like this unsettling. Mm-hmm. You're working with like Oblivion, which Oblivion has its very strong feel to it, where it's, you know, it's weird, it's alien, but mixed with the camp, it gets really strange at points. And I feel like they've moved away from some of the campiness, especially with Battlespire. Battlespire was really out there with a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, when they get referenced later on, it's less campy and more mysterious and
exactly, dark. Because we've also seen them in The Elder Scrolls Skyrim, when you don't really interact with them, though. It's not like this, you have a chat with a spinning diamond in a
right.
coffin
right.
for some reason.
Right.
It's not like the same way as that, but since you have the whole section with the Soul Cairn, they're the little floating diamonds, like, hovering above. They've got this almost like, well, we're not Aedra, we're not Daedra, we're not, you know, mortal, we're kind of this extra thing.
Right. And they here, well, let's get into it, because I'm sure people are wondering, like, okay, why are they crystals? They're not right. like crystalline, like human-shaped figures.
Not Jigalag style just, of crystalline.
Right. They're just
they're
in a crystal.
Crystals.
Right.
Like, think you of, would put an ideal master in a ring.
Right. Like, think of, like, a soul gem sort of kind of thing. But instead of a soul gem containing the spirit of a dead person, these are crystals that actually contain their spirits. Like, they've given away their mortal form, and they now dwell in these crystals, or at least communicate through the crystals. It's a little odd. So here, let's get into the details. Right. The UESP has an article about it, and it goes like this. The ideal masters originated on Nirn in the Merithic era. So way, way, way back in the foggy origins of history, as an early order of sorcerers who practiced necromancy and trafficked in souls. Both of those things are very important to the way this continues to play out. They grew to become very powerful and eventually found their physical forms to be unacceptably weak and limiting. After transcending these forms and becoming beings of pure soul energy, the sorcerers entered Oblivion as immortals and selected an area of chaotic creatia, that's difficult to say for me, to create the Soul Cairn, a realm ideal for their role as soul merchants. Although immortal, they are reluctant to expend magicka, as this diminishes their eternity. So eternity is one of those things that you don't think could be diminished, but
I was going to say that would mean it would have to have a finite point, but
right. So they were mortals who gave up their mortal bodies to become these spirit entities. They carved out their own little realm of Oblivion and now exist in there as these like immortal creatures who are reluctant to do too much when it comes to expending their own magic, because maybe that means they don't exist forever.
Right. Which, like you said, is a little weird.
A little weird.
But it also almost seems like, okay, well, could they live in perpetuity unless they expend that? Like, it seems like it's like almost like a for lack of a better way, it's like, okay, well, this is like a battery that's just kind of going on unless it's used too much, and then it will kind of reach a final point, like almost like an alternator will charge a car battery, but you can still kill a car battery. Like,
right. And I think that this may have something to do with soul gems and the fact that this is the Soul Cairn and the way that soul gems work. And we've speculated about that in the past. And there's some detail about that here, because they play into all of that. So it says, the ideal masters often come into contact with mortals. It is theorized that a soul, this is one of those explanations for how soul gems might work.
Yeah.
It is theorized that a soul trapped in a black soul gem is sent to the Soul Cairn if the gem is used to power an enchantment. So when you use up the power of the soul gem, you kind of suck out the power of the soul to empower that fancy sword you have. That's where the soul goes afterwards.
The leftover juice.
The leftover shell of a soul. Who knows?
Yeah. Like,
is there even any language to talk about this? There it must eternally pledge itself to the masters. Black souls
Those belonging to sentient mortal races are the most common type to be captured, although white souls and a dragon soul are also known to reside in the soul cairn. Necromancers commonly summon these trapped souls to Mundus, although the art has been lost in the fourth era. Necromancers seeking greater power would historically contact the ideal masters and could gain access to armies of undead in return for souls. Although oftentimes the necromancer would be deceived by the masters, who would then claim their soul as well. A notable early example of this would be the deal they made with the dragon Durnavir. We've talked about Durnavir before, right?
Yes.
Anyone who's played through Skyrim will recognize that name, who became eternally trapped within this realm due to their deceit. So there's this whole deal. They've basically cornered this realm of Oblivion, and it talked about them being merchants, like this merchant trade in a way of this soul energy through gems to suck the souls back to their world, to then make deals with necromancers to send the souls back into existence to be used by necromancy to broker new deals with necromancers that bring more souls back into their realm. So I have a feeling that we talked about Daedric princes wanting souls and souls being kind of this currency that some of them seem to be collecting. This feels a lot like that as well, as if there's just competition for this soul energy.
Right. And it's really weird because like the merchant idea is what I find so interesting about this, because it's just like, man, it has got to suck to die in this world. Like, it is rough because like you essentially, like, mortals are just treated like currency in so many different ways. And it's just like you literally have these little crystalline things trading you as just like, again, like currency. And it's just like, okay, well, yeah, this soul got used for this and this is trapped. And it's like, once you're in this loop of getting traded around, it's just like, wow, that's
right.
That is a rough existence post existence,
which makes it even more important to pick the right Aedra or Daedra to worship to make sure that your soul goes somewhere that's better than the places it could end up.
Right. There's a lot of places that you don't want your soul getting left at.
Right. And it also makes sense for why people would try to align themselves with even some of the more dangerous and demonic like Daedra, because they're being promised something in that afterlife that sounds better than maybe the potential for something like this to happen.
And right. Some of these eternal services to some of these gods, that it's just like, oh man, this sounds awful, but it's like, well, it's better than the alternative.
It's better than the alternative.
They have a better shot. It's like,
right.
In this scenario than another one.
Right. And in a world where the Aedra don't act very often and don't really prove their existence very much, and yet somebody like, I don't know, Molech Baal can kind of just show up somewhere through somebody's vision or something. And then you're just like, oh, well, that guy's absolutely real. Maybe I should broker a deal with the one I know is real instead of trying to hope for the ones that I'm not sure are real. And that better ending.
Yeah, because then at least maybe he won't dump me into the pits of Cold Harbor for just eternal torment or trading back and forth for other things. It's like, least if I'm just kind of like one of the servants around there, that's a lot better.
Oh, your audio just kind of disappeared for a second. It's a lot better than, can you say that again? Nope.
Better than one of the alternatives.
There you go. Than one of the alternatives. You just came back.
Yeah.
You just popped back in. That was weird. But it also makes sense why. So for example, the Nords are so focused on Sovngarde, because it seems like that is justified to be a real place, because there is some proof for that. And that seems like a much better place to go than these other options. So
for sure,
the idea of like, well, if the way to get there is to die in battle, then that's sure, I'll do that, because now I don't have to worry about the Soul Cairn, or I don't have to worry about, you know, Molech Baal or any of those things. That's what I'm going to do. So let's be a true Nord and do what true Nords are supposed to do and make sure my soul goes to the right place.
Right.
Yeah. So it goes on and says, the master's only real connection to the Soul Cairn is through the magic gems that inhabit the realm. These generally manifest as one of two forms. And you were talking about those little crystals, and here it describes them as small red crystals found resting in a coffin through which the master can communicate, or as a giant pink crystal often found hovering above a ruined structure and seemingly protecting treasure. through which the master can drain the life essence of anyone who approaches. So we were talking about, like, well, how do they get that energy back in order to make sure that they stay there in eternity? This is another one of those methods. The effect can be counteracted by ingesting a soul husk, a plant native to the realm, which can protect one's soul. Can you imagine, like, well, gotta eat my daily soul husk, because a soul husk a day keeps the ideal masters away.
It's true, and they just look like sea sponges in game. It just looks very, that cannot be good for the intestinal tract.
No, it can't be. This section finishes up and says, old retainers of an ancient Daedra human alliance are said to serve the ideal masters. The retainers achieved their state through ritual, separating their souls from their bodies. They strengthened and organized their spirits to the point where they achieved a form of eternal consciousness. Both the ideal masters and their servants are considered to be revenant spirits. I love the word revenant. There's something that just is so, I don't know, so vicious and terrifying about a revenant. It's way worse than like a ghost, you know?
Yeah.
It finishes up and says, the Soul Guard, also known as the Blessed, are the denizens of the Soul Cairn that serve the ideal masters. And we're going to get into the Soul Guard at the end of the episode, because you've probably come across some of these creatures that are defined as Soul Guard. And we'll get there in a minute. So, Lotus, any other thoughts on this section before we move on?
So the only thing that, and it'll kind of like lead us in before our break, is the idea of, like, you know, one of the things that I find interesting, and it's just something like in our goofy little dialogues section, one of the things that was mentioned that's kind of not a thing in the Elder Scrolls too frequently is when referring to, like, okay, well, we need to cleanse you, i.e. we need to murderize you so that you can be cleansed for our purposes, i.e. yeah, you just need to be dead. That's how we get your soul. Like, that's what we need.
That's what cleansing means, is just murder.
Yes, yeah, exactly. But they refer to, like, mana beams and using your mana, and mana's not really a thing too frequently in the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, it's magicka, right?
Yeah, it's magicka.
But so why mana?
But it's like, you can tell this is back because this came out as essentially a spinoff to Daggerfall. So it's much, much older, like, than the season before some of the...
Was it 98, 97?
Yeah, I believe it. I think it might have been 90. Yeah, I think Battlespire was 98. Yeah. But yeah, it's when some of the terminology was still being ironed out a little more. And they do use the word magicka plenty, but, like, mana is something you just don't super hear frequently in the series. It's not the same as, like, because don't they use mana in, like, Dungeons and Dragons?
Mana is the more traditional term for I don't know, the stuff that magic is made out of.
From, like, Diablo. It's like, right. Okay, you get your mana potion, right. You get your health potion, and you start guzzling, like, right. Where it's like, in this, it's usually referred to a magicka or whatever. So it's just it's an interesting little tidbit that that terminology is really not defined just yet, and it's more of a generic fantasy trope that they use when it comes to these guys. Because unless somebody can correct me with a very specific piece of dialogue that I'm just not thinking of off the top of my head, I don't think they reference anything like that in the Skyrim portion where you deal with the Soul Cairn or anything like that.
I think in later games, mana just becomes magicka. It's like they just start using a different word.
Yeah, for sure. And I was going to say, they always interchange magicka at certain points, like even all the way back to Arena, but it's just some of these things, you know, weren't quite, I mean, even the standard things you think of is, like, stamina and health and magicka, it's like, you know, you had fatigue in Morrowind. Like, some of this stuff changes, so.
Right. It's like the word is different, but the concept of what it does is the same.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just found that one to be an interesting little tidbit. When I was playing through Battlespire, I was like, mana beams? What the hell?
What's a mana beam?
Why do you mean you're expending your mana? So, yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just something I thought was interesting, because it's kind of a relic of the past of the world being created.
Right. So before we get to the break and we talk about some of these creatures, these Soul Guard, I wanted to talk a little bit about the history. They show up in history in a few little places, but the main place is the stuff that has to do with Battlespire. And that is during the Imperial Simulacrum.
I love that word because it's just awful to screw with people.
Simulacrum. It sounds like something that a creature excretes that you have to study in a lab. So it says here, the Daedric armies of Mehrunes Dagon captured the Battle Spire and invaded the Soul Cairn. The Daedra planned to use it as a way station between their own realms and their newly conquered domains. The Daedra killed the master servants and plundered their treasure, although they also released the souls of several prominent mortal allies whom Dagon had betrayed into the realm. An apprentice of the Battle Spire entered the realm following the retreating army. Most of the Ideal Masters were unwilling to help the apprentice, but when they learned of the Daedric invaders, who were supposedly continue to regularly pass through their realm, one master instructed the apprentice on how to use the Emerald Gates to leave the realm and continue stalking Dagon's army. The apprentice used them to teleport to the Shade Perilous and was eventually successful in halting the flow of Daedra through the Soul Cairn by forcing them to relinquish their hold on the newly conquered realms. So it kind of answers the question of, like, how do these Ideal Masters have a realm in Oblivion that just never gets invaded or swallowed up into some Daedric prince's realm because they're so much more powerful? Well, they tried, and they were using it as kind of a gateway, because it seems like that part of Oblivion is just that much closer to the mortal plane.
Fargrave that we encounter in another one. I mean, that's not exactly the same. It's not meant. It kind of became like a trading hub from a dead Daedric god type of deal. And you know, it's still kind of nebulous, but same idea. It's almost like a little like pocket plane to connect the things. And since the Battlespire already is in this weird pocket thing, it's also, just for clarity, the apprentice is you.
Right. You're the apprentice, that's the player character,
just in case anybody's curious, because there's like a constellation for the apprentice. Like, we've got all sorts of stuff. That's you. That's your nickname.
Right. And so it is a little bit weird. I mean, Oblivion is supposed to be infinite in its weirdness and size and scope and those kinds of things. But at the same time, there are realms of Oblivion that are somehow closer to Mundus than others.
Right.
On an infinite, like, it's one of those things that just doesn't make any rational sense, but it sounds really cool.
Sure, and that's why they always try to say that it's like, oh, your rational brain can't wrap around it. Yeah, sure.
Right.
We'll go with that.
It doesn't actually make sense. Now, how does this integrate with Skyrim? Well, the Masters kept the Vampire Lord Valerica. I'm going to mess up the names every time, so you can trust that's going to happen. A prisoner within the realm for several eras when she fled to the Soul Cairn with an Elder Scroll. In the fourth era, 201, the last Dragonborn, you, and the Vampire Lord Serana entered the Soul Cairn in search of Valerica. The interlopers defeated several of the Master's most powerful servants and freed Valerica. This is one of those little details about that whole situation that happens in Skyrim that just doesn't get discussed very much. Like, it's kind of this minor little thing.
Again, that's just it. They don't give you, like, if you didn't have this information from Battlespire, it was just like, oh man, the Soul Cairn thing is weird. And that's kind of it. That's all you really get out of Skyrim. It's just kind of like, oh, this is weird.
Right. It's like well, I'm in this weird place. There's a vampire stuck here or something, I guess. I don't know. And there's, this is where an Elder Scroll is now for some reason.
Exactly. And it's like, why am I eating soul husks? Like, because it's an alchemical ingredient. Like, why am I doing this? Like, it's interesting that this information is there, but so much of it isn't really extrapolated on in Skyrim. It's just kind of a cool area. And again, something I do love, and ESO does it a lot, is they pull this information from old portions of the game, and it's just there as if you're expected to have gone on this journey since the very beginning.
Yeah. And I kind of like that.
I love that.
A lot of it just doesn't get explained that much.
No, I don't feel every game needs to over-explain it. I like the fact that this... Absolutely. lore is stretched out throughout the series, and you need to go to the corresponding part of the series to get it, not just like, well, let us sit you down and talk about. No, you can make a parchment piece that says like, oh, a couple notes on what these are, and then you know which game to go to at most, type of deal.
Yeah, it's one of the critiques that's come out for the new Dragon Age game, actually, is that they over explain everything as if they want the audience to make sure that they don't miss out on the details of what's going on or why it's happening. And I haven't played yet. That's just one of the explanations I've heard. But I hope that Bethesda is aware that as their audience, would rather just drop stuff in and let us go, wait, what is that? And give us some little hints here and there, but you don't have to explain everything.
I feel like it makes you want to explore the whole series and not just be like, okay, well, I'm all caught up.
Right.
That's fine if you want it on surface value. I'm sure plenty of people just played through the main storyline quest of Skyrim and never thought about it again.
Right.
That's totally fine.
It still works. Because if you just playing it to hit monsters and throw fireballs,
exactly.
You don't care about the story anyway. But about the story, it adds intrigue. Just like Elden Ring was so popular, especially with YouTube creators who were trying to figure out the lore because it didn't just put it all right there in front of you in dialogue.
It's one of the few things, like, because I'm not the biggest Souls fan, but I actually enjoy parts of them. It's really just the gameplay isn't super my thing. I like the challenge aspect, but the combat's not really super my deal with the stamina-based combat.
Right.
But oftentimes, I just am fascinated by, like, the stories around it and the lore around it, just because it's like there's just little snippets and so much of it you have to extrapolate on. And it's like, oh, okay, there's a decent amount here. And you really got to work to put it together yourself, which I think is pretty cool.
I think it's really cool. And I feel like Elder Scrolls traditionally has been more like that, especially when it came to like Morrowind. And
then it was very much like that.
And they kind of balanced it out a little bit more in Oblivion and Skyrim. But because they have this history of this stuff, like incorporate some of the stuff from these old games, again, the way that they've been doing in ESO. But you don't have to explain all of it. Just give us little bits here and there and let us dig around and see what we can find. And
exactly. And as strange as it is, like one of the things that I like, and if you go on the USP, there's actually a really grainy zoomed in photo of it. Elder Scrolls Online has just like, I believe it's just like one of the treasure items, like a collectible treasure item, which I personally love because it's just somebody who is just getting hyper nerdy on staff and just putting these weird things in the game.
Right.
And it's just like, yep. Here's a shard of an Ideal Master. And it's just a chunk. It's just like a little chunk of Ideal Master.
And it's all like 64 by 64 pixels or something.
It's just like, and you know, I love that they've done that. Again, one of my favorite ones that I've mentioned before, it's a Startooth, which, again, it's a super deep cut to like, oh, yeah, that's the main collectible from the Elder Scrolls Shadow Key. Like,
right.
Okay, cool. The nine of us who ever got that rare item are like, what is this?
Right, right. Everyone else is like, I don't know, it's a thing.
Yeah, I don't know, it's worth 1,000 gold.
Another thing I collect, I guess I'll sell it. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, no, I love those little callbacks without over-explaining it.
Absolutely.
Give you the information to go look it up.
Yes, yes. It also makes me wonder, like, what happens if you break an Ideal Master into shards?
Right? Can you just chip off a piece and get some power?
I don't know. Maybe we'll get to explore that in the next Elder Scrolls.
It's opening like a pack of gum.
Yeah, you think like they got one piece of gum, and like the rest of it, you just leave in there.
Ah, my eternity.
Oh, that was my toe.
Yeah.
My eternal toe.
Right, yeah, I was going to say, you just rip off like a quick 100 years of his life.
right. All right, well, we got to go thank our patrons. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about more of these weird Soul Guard creatures. So here we go.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Thank you, Hermes Mora. All right, here we are. Welcome to our newest patrons. We get to shout out Maria G, Sir Drippy the Dream, wonderful name, and Drayden S. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you've decided to join us. Hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes. And for those of you who have signed up at all the different tiers, you can get ad-free episodes, you can get t-shirts and stickers, you can join us for patron chats. There's all sorts of fun ways to help us out. And there's a bunch of episodes that are from the early days that aren't as good because Lotus wasn't a part of them. But if you want to go back and listen to those, you can sign up and get access to those as well. So thank you for your support. Thank you to all 136 of our current patrons, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. And we have to shout out our Daedric Princes, Blinding Vision, Hairscene, Just a Little Bit of Chaos, Kira C, and Peter R. Thank you so much for all the support. And Lotus, we got another review that came in.
Oh, that's fun.
This one is from Sanguine's Bros. And it's B-R-O-S-E, not bros, like, you know, like your brothers.
Not like Super Mario Bros.
No, Sanguine's Bros. And this is from the U.S. They write, 10 out of 10 soul gems. This is super...
How on brand.
Super on brand for this episode. I don't have an Apple account, so I took my wife's phone to give you 5 out of 5 stars. I love it. And I hope you asked permission first. And finally, be able to say that Tom and Lotus, thank you so much for giving us so much lore and content. The real world connections with Tom's philosophy and Lotus adding in facts and snippets from him playing all the side Elder Scrolls games just works so well. The work you guys put in is so appreciated. Against Lotus's better judgment, his podcast voice is great. I'm totally pushing all the words, but don't worry.
Well, I'm glad you enjoy.
They like your voice. So thank you so much. If you'd like to help us out, you can leave another 5-star or another, if you haven't left one out, left
hijack
one yet.
Hijack your significant other's phone.
Take the phone, leave another 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, put in some words. We'll read it out on a future episode of the show. And other ways that you can help us out, if you listen on Spotify, you can rate us on there. There are ways to comment on the episode, so if you leave some kind and nice comments about what you've been listening to, that would be helpful. You can share it with your friends. All of that stuff is ways that you can help us out. And you can also come and hang out with us during the live streams on Thursday nights. I don't mention this enough. Thursday night.
I know, we never bring up the live stream stuff. Yeah. It's just like, hey, for those of you who hang out with us, kind of just talk into a void unless you're chilling with us.
Right, yeah. People show up. And so if you'd like to join us for the live streams, twitch.tv/robotsradio. You can come hang out with us Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. There you go. All right. Let's talk about some weird Soul Guard monster things. Here we go.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
All right, so let's talk about the Soul Guard. They are known also as the Blessed, and they are denizens of the Soul Cairn, and they serve the Ideal Masters. They are old retainers of an ancient Daedric human alliance that achieved their state through ritual, separating their spirits from their bodies. And if you think this is creepy, it absolutely is. They strengthened and organized their spirits to the point where they achieved a form of eternal consciousness. Both the Ideal Masters and their servants are considered to be revenant spirits, like we mentioned before. So there are different types of these, and they all look like skeletons or ghosts or combinations of the two.
Yeah, mostly skeletons.
Mostly skeletons. So there's the Bone Men. Bone Men are skeletal undead that serve the Ideal Masters for eternity without a will of their own. They are often ghostly and can be tinted black or red. And they show up in Battlespire, Skyrim, ESO, and also in Legends, which, RIP, their ending legends.
I know. Yeah. We'll make a little note on that at the end of the show, actually.
Yeah. So the Bone Men, you've probably come across some of these skeleton monsters in the games. Some of the skeleton monsters are actually Soul Guard. They're blessed. They're from the Soul Cairn. Then there's the Keeper. Keepers, or Boneyard Keepers, are towering servants of the Ideal Masters who reside in the Soul Cairn, charged with the incarceration of Valerica. They herd imprisoned souls and drain their energy to maintain the barrier in front of the Boneyard. So these show up in Skyrim when you're in the Soul Cairn doing the whole thing that we talked about. And again, kind of just like armored dark monsters with like made out of black smoke, kind of ghostly, kind of weird looking.
Yeah, I don't know. They're kind of just super generic, like evil creature.
Yeah. Like suit of armor with the spirit inside kind of thing.
Yeah, they're fine.
They are. Then we have Mistmen. They are floating ghostly undead that blend in the glory of the transcendent spirit. Therefore, they see death as a cleansing of fears and shame and a state of serenity. They are content with the Soul Cairn, which they view as a refuge for peace and love. They are described as collective manifestations of happy spirits that are in service to the Ideal Masters. And if you were to look at them, you would have no idea that they're happy spirits who find this to be a refuge of love and peace, because they look like ghosts or ghostly skeletons.
Who are trying to kill you with
also murdering
all of their love and peace.
Yes.
I just, that's one of the things that I do really appreciate is like, it comes across when you, at least from the Battlespire dialogue, as such a half-assed attempt at being like, yeah, no, it's great. Everybody's happy. And it's just like, we're just going to slay you and then you'll just be our slaves for eternity in love and happiness.
We're just going to separate your body from your spirit and then you're just going to be bound to us for all eternity.
We're literally discussing basically black market soul trade and you're telling me about how much love and peace and enjoyment everybody's having. It's like, this is the crappiest sales pitch in history.
Yeah, it's the Stockholm Syndrome of the Elder Scrolls universe.
Yeah. No, the Ideal Masters just are so lackadaisical. They can't even bother to come up with a good pitch. So they're like, yeah, no, it's fine. You don't need that skin. It's just weighing you down.
It's fine. Do like we did. Get rid of that flesh.
You can be a crystal.
Yeah, it's fine. So we've got two more. There are Reapers. The Reaper is a shadowy figure of an executioner with burning red eyes. It can be summoned in the Soul Cairn once 3 Reaper gem fragments are placed on an altar within its lair. It is known to vomit green bile during combat. Those fortunate enough to survive an encounter with the Reaper may find that it has a Daedric heart in its chest. As such, the Reaper may be a creature of Daedric origin as opposed to a mere specter. It looks like a ghostly humanoid shape, but maybe, who knows, maybe Daedra are making deals with the Ideal Masters also? Maybe that's a thing?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that they would be. Also, vomiting green bile to kill you, another gesture of love.
Yeah, but don't worry. Don't fear the Reaper, Lotus.
Oh, dear God. Wish I hadn't walked into that. That's so spot on. We're going to get sued by Blue Oyster Cult.
All right. Then we've got Wrathmen. Wrathmen, known singularly as the Soul Which Never Dies, either appear as wraiths or draugr-like skeletal undead, but are ultimately husks of their former selves. They are void of most emotions, except love. No, that's not what it says. Except that they are in a state of eternal suffering, which feels like an emotion to me, and can only truly be freed from their bonds of torment through a ritual. Should one encounter Wrathmen, they will seek to sate their hunger for life by feasting on you. And they, again, look like bony spirit monsters, or in Skyrim, they kind of look like ghost draugr.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Also have like the helmets and things like the
they really do look like ghost draugr.
Yeah, like ancient Nord armor, like bone, like dragon bone armor, like that kind of stuff on them. So There you go. It seems like a realm of peace and love where everybody's happy. Yeah, I mean,
all of the denizens there are clearly really loving it.
They're loving it. That's their motto.
They're loving it.
I don't think
it.
Anyone's used that motto before in anything else.
No, I don't think so either.
So there you go. That's the Ideal Masters, some of their minions and what's going on with them, how they got where they are, and why they're talking gems in Battlespire. So
yes,
there you go. We covered it. The Ideal Masters. Any last thoughts, Lotus?
Not really. I kind of wish they were. I like how they are at the periphery of the series rather than ever really a focus. Mm. But I wish they were around a little more. Like a side quest here or there that kind of like references them, because it's honestly just these two games where at least Battlespire, there's a substantial portion that's related to it. And I mean, the Skyrim chunk of the Dawnguard expansion, you know, you spend some time in there, but again, it's more about the Sol Caren itself rather than the Ideal Masters. I don't know. I feel like it's a really cool piece of lore that I wouldn't want them to necessarily make. Here's the Ideal Masters expansion. Like, that'd be kind of too much information, because we were talking about how like less is more.
You know what I would like to see in the next Elder Scrolls game? A side quest just out of nowhere where you go on this adventure and it has something to do with soul gems and you come across a boss, but it's the kind of situation where you can't win the fight. And it's like a necromancer, and you get put into a soul gem, and then you get sucked into the realm of the Sol Caren.
So you see it from the other perspective,
right? And then you
then
start being manipulated by the Ideal Masters, sent back into the world, and then have to like regain your humanity back from that.
That's an interesting idea, especially because we've seen the inside of a soul gem once, and it's weird.
It's weird, yeah. And so then be sent to the Sol Caren,
traded around. I bet it's even weirder.
Like, what if when you're sent to the Sol Caren as a spirit, you don't talk to the Ideal Masters through their gems? You can now see their spirits also.
Like what? Yeah, what's actually like, there?
Yeah, like Frodo putting on the ring and being able to see the ring wraiths or something like that. Right?
Sure. But yeah, like to that point, like that's kind of what I mean. It's like I some of the side quests in the series are so elaborate or so weird or so cool. Mm-hmm. I feel like references to them where you just get a touch, just like a little reference to, hey, here's a little ideal master scenario, because again, unless you go looking for it, you're not even going to probably make most players probably won't even understand what it is. It's like, oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then people who all the people who listen to the show will be like, oh my God, I know that. That's an Ideal Master. I totally get this reference type of deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those where I would like to be a little more prevalent without going overboard, just because I think they're just strange as hell.
Yeah, like, it's rare,
and their
that
origins are so nebulous still.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Even with the information we have, it's really just kind of like,
right,
yeah, this is sort of what we know of them, but even that's not confirmed, and there's really not a good way to confirm it.
Right. We get mortals who end up as liches and try to mantle Daedra and like those right. kinds of things. Like, there are definitely mortals who are seeking power in, I guess, creative and really messed up ways. But the sure. The Ideal Masters found it. Like, they figured yeah. it out. And that's kind of just cool in and of itself.
Right. They almost made their own form of divinity.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah. Which makes you wonder, like, what do they do in their spare time? They have all this time on their hands.
I assume they just hover. They use all their mana to hover in place.
They just float. They get really good at chess. They just play mental chess with each other. Rook 7
really,
to
really slow
to
chess.
Queen 6. I don't know what that even means, but yeah, there you go. All right, Lotus, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Anything else you want to share before we head out?
We'll be recording an episode of Tales this weekend, hopefully. And I'm kind of back in the swing of things, but with being a dad and stuff, I've kind of got the schedule more or less down, so I'll be able to join consistently for things.
Nice.
And the only thing which I did mention that I figure we should do a quick call out to, because unfortunately the clock is ticking on this. We have talked on this show, we've talked extensively on Tales of Tamriel, The Elder Scrolls Legends, the card game, has some pretty cool stories in it. It actually added a surprising amount of lore to the series. Personally, I think the Shivering Isles was incredibly well done. It shows the the scary side of Shagorath rather than the goofy, jovial side that everybody jokes about with the cheese and the stuff like that, and more the unhinged, like, when you think about his quote of skipping rope with your entrails, and it's like, oh, how ridiculous. But then when it's like, you actually like think of what that would entail, entrails,
it would entrail.
Yeah. That's more of what the Shivering Isles depicts with the Elder Scrolls Legends. And the main quest is interesting. Dark Brotherhood one's pretty decent too. The stories are really cool. However, the game went into maintenance mode a while back. Now it's being closed down, unfortunately, which stinks personally, because hopefully we will be able to figure out a way to preserve it, because it will become a lost relic. There will be no way to play it when it closes down. So I would suggest, if you have any interest in it, even if it's just for the stories, UESP has coverage of it, so don't feel bad, but it's not the same as playing it through yourself. It's free. And last I played it, I mean, I played that game into the ground. So last I played it, because it's closing down, there aren't microtransactions that you can still spend money on. Everything's just kind of free as far as I remember.
Yeah. So do as much as you want before it just goes away.
Exactly. And then, I'd say delete it afterwards, but it's going to delete itself, unfortunately. So kind of a bummer when that got announced, but I definitely recommend it, even if it's just, you can power through. Also, the guides are available on the UESP. So even if you're not, I'm not a card game person, if you just want a quick method to get through, there's guides to just power through just to beat the quest if you just want the stories and stuff. It's worth a playthrough.
I know there's like online component stuff, but I'm surprised that they're not just like gutting that stuff out and just letting you play the single player stuff locally.
I'm hoping they will do something with it later down the line.
Yeah.
But I've also been hoping they release the travel games on like modern day phones for like 99 cents. And
I bet the coding on that stuff is real tricky.
I hope you have an N-gauge like I do. Yeah. If you want
to. I bet it's really tricky to convert N-gauge code to like an iPhone or an Android.
Yes. And unfortunately, it's a bummer about game preservation when things are digital only. If they're taken offline and there's no code remaining like to the public,
just disappear.
That's the end of it. Yep. So that's the end of it. I just figured it was worth mentioning. If you do have any interest, jump on this opportunity before you can't.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah, go check out Tales of Tamriel. Go check out Legends if you want to play it. I've actually been diving into this indie game that's designed by one guy that's like insane Skyrim. I did a video on it. It's on the Robots Radio YouTube channel. So if you want to go check it out, you can see my initial impressions of it. And it's a lot of fun. It's a very open world with lots of possibility. It's pretty goofy, but I think some of the ideas could be used in a future Elder Scrolls game to good effect. So if you're curious about that at all, Robots Radio YouTube, go check it out. And of course, I've got my other shows, the Fallout Lorecast, Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the Mass Effect Lorecast. They're doing a Mass Effect show coming out on Amazon at some point.
Probably about that.
Probably a year or two out still, I would guess. But very cool stuff. So if you're curious about any of the lore from those games or worlds, or you're interested in anything at all having to do with lore and other video games, there's lots of shows on robotsradio.net. Go check it all out. And thank you again for tuning in. Lotus and I will be back next week. And until then, stay safe out there. And if you end up talking to a gem who wants to convince you to give up your mortal flesh, maybe consider not doing it. It may not be the best deal.
Hold on to your souls.
Hold on to your souls. We'll see you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this. And join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.